believe there are no words that can tell how great our God is. As Eric said this morning, it is a daunting task to try to somehow share from the scripture, from the written word, about who God is and what God is about, and some of the promises and things that he has made to us in his word. And so you can pray for me this morning as I attempt to share from the scripture again this morning. I spent a couple of Sundays, and we're again looking at one of the omnis of God. We looked at his omniscience, how he is all-knowing, and his omnipotence, how he is all-powerful, and also the fact that God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. And this morning we're going to be looking at his omnipresence. Omnipresence. God is everywhere. If you were to try to describe where God is, how would you do that? We are limited in our minds as to how we understand where God is. And we have times in life where we ask that question, God, where are you? God, where are you? I grew up on a little farm, and my parents, my father's sister lived in Missouri, so about every 2 years, my parents would pack up and take a trip to Missouri and take my grandfather along, and there was five of us boys, so there wasn't enough room in the car for all of us, so typically two of us had to stay at home. And I was 13 years old, and it was my turn to go along to Missouri, and we packed up in the car, and we went to Missouri, and the house that we went to, they had 11 children there, so it was very limited for space there as well, my uncle's house, and out of the 11, 10 of those were girls, and so we slept outside. Long story short, we laid on the porch, and I remember laying there one night, of course, I was I had two brothers younger than me and little wimps. They had to sleep beside Dad. I wasn't even able to get to lay right beside him. So, you know, the younger you were, the closer you slept to Dad as we slept outside there on the porch. And so I was always at least one person away from Dad. And I remember feeling a little bit insecure with that. And then one night we woke up in the middle of the night or early morning or whatever it was. My uncle, they had a dog that chased coyotes, and it was kind of nice to have that dog there in the yard. There was a fence around the yard, and we woke up in the night to hear this snarling and yipping as the dog, apparently a coyote, had come too close to the house, and the dog out around the fence and chased the coyote away. And so we wake up, you know, hair standing up with this snarling and yipping of this or coyote as the dog was chasing it away. But I remember snuggling in a little bit closer, you know, just to the comfort of the fact that Dad was there was comforting. 2 years later, it was my turn to stay at home, and it was me and my younger brother. We stayed at home, and Mom and Dad, they packed up and they went to Missouri, and I was left to take care of the feeding the steers and watching out for the place while they were gone. And one night, during the night, I heard a noise out of the barn. The house wasn't real far away from the barn, but I heard a noise out of the barn, and I sat at the window for a while listening, trying to decide if it was anything that was of any significance or not. But just I remember the feeling of feeling so alone, feeling like without Dad there, without that sense of security, that it was just like, what do I do? And at that time, at 15 years old, I had a little BB pistol or a CO2 pistol with that shot pellets. And so I got bold, and I tucked the pistol in my belt, and I walked out to the barn to see what was going on out there. Really a false sense of security. And I think maybe this morning that there are those of us sitting here this morning who have adopted a false sense of security in something other than the Almighty God, the one who is asking us to rely on Him and to trust Him and know that He is everywhere, all the time. Well, I went out to the barn. There was nothing. I don't know what it was, but went back to bed and went to sleep. But I remember just feeling those feelings of insecurity as recognizing that Dad was not there. And I'm going to be reading from Psalms 139, 7 through 12. And you can turn now this morning with me as we look at the fact, we looked at the fact that God knows everything, and that is found in Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to read that just to set the stage here. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path, my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. So here we, in the first six verses of Psalms 139, we have it made very clear that God knows us. He understands. He knows your path. He knows where you walk. He knows where you're going. He knows what is going to happen to you today. He knows what is going to happen to you tomorrow. And He has prepared the path for you. And now today, do we have the understanding? Do we comprehend that God is everywhere? There is nowhere. There is nowhere on that path that you can go that God is not there. There is nowhere on that path that you can go that God is not there to hold your hand. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. In other words, you cannot hide in the darkness from God. A man was putting on a tin roof on his barn when all of a sudden he slipped and began to slide down the roof. He cried out to God to save him. No sooner had he got the words out of his mouth than a nail caught his pants and stopped him. When he stopped, he said, never mind, God, I took care of it. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're on a tin roof and you are sliding towards the edge. And I ask you this morning, do you have the assurance? Do you have the confidence? Do you have the proof that is written in God's word in your heart that God is everywhere? Even if you make it, if the nail doesn't stop you and you slide to the edge of the roof, are you willing to believe this morning that God is still there, that He is there? The problem isn't that God doesn't perform miracles anymore. The problem is that we're not looking for God to perform miracles. You see, because we kind of live our lives in such a way that we're not aware of the fact that God is, that God knows, and that He is, and that He is able, and He is everywhere. That He knows, He is all-powerful, and He is everywhere. You can't run from Him. You can't hide from Him. The theme verse that I've shared with these messages is Jeremiah 9:23 through 24 says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Who is God? What is God like? And these here, there's a trio of these omnis that are not necessarily words taken from the Bible, but it is the theme throughout the Bible that God is omniscient. He knows everything. He is all-knowing. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. There is nothing God cannot do. And this morning we're looking at He is omnipresent. There is nowhere that God is not. There is nowhere that God is not. Joshua 1:9 says this, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Beautiful words. Beautiful words that it should encourage the heart and spirit of every one of us. Let me read it again. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And I am saying to you here at New Covenant this morning, your God is with you. It doesn't matter where you go. Wherever you go, your God is with you. Little boy spilled some milk on the kitchen floor and before going to bed at night, and his mom asked him to go out and get the mop from off the back porch. "No, mommy," he said, "it's dark out there and I'm scared." The mother tried to reassure him that Jesus was with him and that Jesus was there and there was nothing to be afraid of. Finally, he mustered enough courage to stick his head out the door and called out into the darkness, "Lord, if you're there, could you please hand me the mop?" Isn't that kind of where we find ourselves though sometimes in life? We find ourselves faced with fears. We find ourselves faced with things that we don't know how to handle, that we're scared, we're afraid, we're sliding down the roof, and there seems like there is no way out, but that you're going off the edge this morning. I am here to tell you this morning that there is nowhere that God is not there for you in whatever the situation is. You see, I think it's so important this morning that we take the time to solidify again in our minds the fact of who God is. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And He is everywhere. And when we comprehend these three things, when we live like we believe it, if we live like we believe these three things to be true, it will change how we live. You see, I think we have minimized our view of God. We have minimized the holiness of God. And therefore, we have a trivial view of what sin is because we have minimized the holiness of God. We don't comprehend it. We don't embrace it. We don't saturate our minds with the fact that God is a holy God. So we have this here trivial view of sin. We trivialize the majesty of God, and therefore we worship God in a trivial way because we have trivialized who He is. We don't implant it in our mind. We don't get it solidified in our mind that God is the awesome God that He says He is. Amen? He is the almighty, holy God that He has proclaimed that He is. There's no doubt about it. And so when we embrace that in our hearts, when we get it in our minds, when we get it to the Spirit, where it really makes a difference is where we'll make a difference in how we view Him. We trivialize the truth of God, so we wind up with a trivial grasp of His word. We trivialize the truth. So we kind of take His word, yeah, it is what it says. Does it really apply to me? Does it really apply to me? We trivialize the judgment of God, and therefore we have a cheap understanding of Jesus' death on the cross. If we would fully understand the judgment of God, we would fully understand Jesus' death on the cross. Amen? We would fully understand it. I believe it's important this morning that we understand and that we take time to focus on who God is, and also from the standpoint that we live in a society that talks a lot about God. And we also live in a society where there are many churches that talk about God, but are they talking about the true God, the living God, the holy God, the one who has declared himself to us? And he's not, in many cases, there are cases where God is not being worshipped for the God that he is. That he is holy, forgiving, loving, patient, gracious. That's the God that we serve. That's the God. He cares about you. If you're sliding down the roof, he cares about you. He will put something there for you. David Wells, in his book, said this. God, in his book titled God in the Wasteland, describes the sad state of the contemporary faith. He talks about the weightlessness of God, and it's like this. He says, it is one of the defining marks of our time that God is now weightless. I mean by this that he has become unimportant. He rests upon the world so inconsequentially as not to be noticeable. Those who assure the pollsters of their belief in God's existence may nonetheless consider him less interesting than television, his commands less authoritative than their appetites for affluence and influence, his judgment no more awe-inspiring than the evening news, and his truth less compelling than the advertiser's sweet fog of flattery and lies. Jeremiah 23 through 24 says this, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, says the Lord? People in the community may call us hypocrites because they only see part of us. And that's unfortunate. They only see part of you. But God sees all of you. God sees my heart. He sees my intents. He sees my spirit. He knows exactly who I am, and he knows what I am. Why? Because he is everywhere all the time. What if we always practiced the presence of God? What if we were consciously aware that no matter what we did or what we said, that our audience was always with God, that every word that we said, every attitude, every thought was visible to God? Wouldn't it really cause us to act differently or think differently if we really believe that? Think about it this morning. If you really understand that God is everywhere, think about all your conversations this week. Were you of the mindset that God was there, that he heard, that he understood? Think about how different it would be if you were walking into the video store or into the department store or whatever it might be, if you were under the understanding that when you walk through those doors, when you walk up to the video racks, when you walk into the whatever it might be, if you would understand that God is there with you. I know that this is really elementary, but I believe it is something that we need to be reminded that we need to live with the understanding that every time words come out of my mouth, every conversation that I have with someone is being witnessed by the Almighty God, is being witnessed by a holy God, is being witnessed by a God who is true, just, holy, and all those things. Every conversation, every word out of my mouth is understood by God. What a great truth that God is right here and he is with us now. He will be with you when you leave this place on the drive home. He will be with you when you get up tomorrow morning. He will be with you when you go to work. He will be with you when you come home. He is always with us. The Lord our God is everywhere at once. And let's look at Psalms 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? David is asking this question. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? And I ask you this morning, is there anywhere that you can go from his spirit? Or is there anywhere that you can flee from his presence? And obviously the answer is no. He understands. If you this morning are attempting to find a place to get away from him, if you're trying to get to find a place to get away from him, you can't do it. You can't do it. In verse 8, it says this, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And look at the first question there. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And it seems like the psalmist is saying, if I go to the furthest part of the universe, which we don't even know where that's at yet at this point, but if I go to the furthest part of the universe, guess what? You are there. And the quote, it's quoted as during the early stages of space exploration, that a Russian cosmonaut looked out the window of the shuttle. When he came back, he told this to the people that were listening, told the news media and all around, that when he was up there, he looked out the window and he didn't see God, therefore God is not real. And I like the way one pastor responded to his congregation in Texas. He said to the people in his congregation, had he stepped out of the space shuttle, he would have met God. You see, we kind of get this feel. We lose sight of the fact because we don't see God. We don't see him. You know, somebody described it like oxygen. It's like breathing air. You know, the air is pure and clean, and unless if you live in Lancaster County, you can taste the air sometimes. But the truth is that God is there no matter if you see him or you don't see him. He's there. He is there. In verse 8, if I make my bed in hell, if I go into the deepest parts of the earth, simply referring to death or Sheol, or many times used in Scripture as the meaning of where the dead are. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I take the wings of the morning, if you've ever been up when the sun comes up, some of us have, if you're ever up when the sun comes up, the light comes across the land, and it crosses the land with speed. And if you could get on the light, you could not outrun God. You cannot get away from him if you could get on the light and go to the uttermost parts of the sea. Even in verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say surely, verse 11, if I say surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. And many of us here this morning are familiar with the idea that many people who are practicing sin kind of have more of a freedom to do it at night. There's more of a freedom to do it when it's dark. Somehow there's kind of this mentality that it can't be seen. It can't be seen as easy when it's dark. I am here to tell you this morning that according to Scripture, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. And in verse 12, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. You see, to God, darkness is not a problem for him. A couple of things to point out about the omnipresence of God. God is not contained to a building. You know, we've heard things like, let's go to the house of the Lord for worship. There was a day when the temple was built, and in 1 Kings 8:27, Solomon says this, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? How much less this temple that I've built? So there is no building that's holding God. You don't come here, you don't come here on a Sunday morning to meet God because this is the only place you can meet God. You come here on a Sunday morning to fellowship with other believers in the presence of an almighty God. But God is found in each and every one of us. You are now his temple. The Holy Spirit has come and dwells within each and every one of us. So we are here this morning with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of each and every one of us. He cannot be contained in a building. God cannot be localized to a city or a nation. We cannot say that, well, in this city or that city, or if you go to Toronto, you'll be able to find God. Or here in the United States of America, you'll be able to find God. I believe that everywhere around the world, without a doubt, there is believers, and where there are believers, God is. And maybe even where they're not, God is. God is not red, white, and blue. God is not rooting for the Eagles or the Steelers or, I don't know, maybe he is. God is always present, whether we believe it or not. God is always present, whether we believe it or not. He is always present. He is always available to us wherever we go. 24 hours a day, 24/7. He is never resting. He is never sitting back on his recliner where you have to get his attention to be able to speak to him. Some of you wives know what I'm talking about, where your husband is sitting on the recliner and you're trying to speak to him and he's preoccupied in his one little box mind that, and you can't get his attention until you throw something at him or whatever. God will never be that way. God will never be that way. He will always be there. He will always be aware. He will always be awake. He will always be ready to interact with you. He is always there before you get there, and he'll be there when you arrive. He is there always. The omnipresence of God should bring conviction. The omnipresence of God should bring conviction. When we know that he is everywhere, it should convict our hearts that we act different, we speak different, because we are always speaking in the presence of God. And therefore, when we enter into gossip, when we enter into talking bad about people, remember when you're doing it, you are doing it in the presence of God. You're always doing it in the presence of God. Hebrews 4:13 puts it in perspective. It says this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Omnipresence should bring comfort. The fact that we know, again, that everywhere we go and everywhere God is. His omnipresence in our day-to-day life, if it would consist of giving God my simple loving attention, if we get distracted, he is calling out to us. If we get sidetracked, he's trying to get our attention. He wants you to know him. And he wants to know you. You are not alone. We all remember the story of Jonah and how that he ran, tried to run from God, and he couldn't get away from God. It didn't matter where he went into the belly of the fish. God was still there. The fish vomited him up on the dry land. God was still there. There was nowhere that he could go to get away from him. If you're here this morning and you're wondering where God is, he's in the hospital room. He's in the funeral home. He's in the darkness. He's in your place of employment. He's in the classroom. He's on the field. He's in the privacy of your own room in your home. He is there. I know that it's possible this morning that in a crowd this side, there's someone here this morning that feels desperately alone. You feel desperately alone. You feel like you're a ship on the ocean and everyone is passing you by. You wave, you smile. You put on that there good look, that good feeling or appearance. But in deep down inside, you feel alone. I want to assure you this morning, you are not alone. You are not alone. And I know that there are no words that can comfort that feeling of being alone. But I challenge you to look again into what God is doing in your life, what he's doing in the lives of the people around you, and reach out to him. You know, it's kind of like this. There comes times in life where we're challenged with things, where we're at a place where we don't know how to do it anymore. I don't know how I'm going to do what I'm faced with. But what God is saying to you this morning is acknowledge that. Come and stand before the presence of the Father and say to him, God, I don't see a way out of this. I don't see how to walk through this. But your word has promised that there is nothing that can be, that by your spirit, I can do everything. And so you slip your hand into the hand of the Father and you say, by your grace, by your strength, by your power, I will walk through this. By your strength, by your grace, and by your power, I will walk through this. I don't know what you might be facing this morning. It might be dark. You might be sliding off of the roof. Maybe you're facing the darkest place of all. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you're not going to live forever. And you're faced with death. And you're faced with the reality of death. You're faced with the fact that I'm not going to live forever. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to go through that. I don't know how to walk through that. Tell the Father, slip your hand in his hand, and let him lead you. Let him lead you. He said in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because thou art with me. Because thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Slip your hand into the hand of the Father. God is with us. Will you believe it? Will you trust him? Will you enjoy the wonderful light of his presence in your life today? And that everything that you face becomes small in the presence of a big, powerful, almighty, all-knowing, everywhere God. Let's stand together. We're going to close with a song. And we're just going to listen to this song. It's going to be played. And I'm opening the altar up to you this morning. That if for some reason God is speaking to you this morning and you realize that you have not been trusting him and that you've been putting your faith in something that is a false sense of security, if that is the truth this morning and you want to do business with God, the altar is open. I invite you to come as the song plays. At the end of the song, you're dismissed. I'll just take a moment to come before the Father. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be able to fellowship with you. I thank you, Lord, that you are an all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present God. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be fixed on you. And that today, Lord, if we're sliding on the tin roof or we're walking in darkness, I pray, Father, that this would be the time where we would be able to reconnect with you. Lord, that we would recognize that no matter where we are at, that you are with us. So, Father, today we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we believe with all our hearts that you are able to do what we can't even ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen.